This week's sermon is called Father's Day. The reading is Mark 10, 13-16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
Good morning, everyone. Glad that you're with us today. If you were with us on Thursday evening, you know that we had a full to overflowing church building for our baccalaureate service. And Earl gave the graduation speech that night, and it was outstanding. Congratulations to Earl for so many years working at GL and blessing us in so many ways. And we're delighted that, yes, please do, yes. So we welcome our fathers today, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers. I don't know if we have any great-great-grandfathers here, but all grandfathers are great, I guess, so we're glad that you're with us. Let's just take a moment to get up where we are to welcome one another and maybe give a special hug to dads today. So I think that for all of us, we know how vitally important it is to tell people we love that we love them. And maybe some of us grew up in an age where that wasn't part of our culture, but we know how important it is. I wonder how many in our audience today remember your father telling you these words. I love you. And I guess I want to be more personal than that this morning and just ask right now, anyway, to the men in our audience this morning, how many of you remember your father saying to you personally, I love you? How many remember? And I'm not even going to ask the question, because it's obvious, the question that I just asked. How many of you in our audience today wished, oh, how you wished, that once, just once, your father would say to you, looking into your eyes, I love you. But for some reason, he just couldn't. And maybe it was his culture. That's not something that was ever done. That's just not something that was said. Grandfathers to their grandchildren, we have no problem with that. But sometimes, maybe because of the culture of the day, for a father to look into the eyes of his son, sometimes even a daughter, and to say, I love you, was somehow very, very difficult to do. Probably because it wasn't done before. We remember dads maybe giving you a slap on the back or maybe shaking your hand after not seeing you for a number of years. But I think that we've known as time has gone on, especially for those of us that now have, you know, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, how wonderful it is to be able to hug them and kiss them and love them and tell them how much they are loved. So why do I say this? Because in the scripture, God is described as a loving father. We've seen sometimes in scripture God being angry, but more than any other description in the Bible concerning God, the word is love. God is love. And I just want to spend a couple of moments this morning looking at a variety of passages of scripture. Probably taking things out of context because I want to use so many different passages of scripture, just noticing God as a loving father and how maybe those of us who are fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers can also ask ourselves these questions. Where can I improve? How can I be a better father or grandfather? How can I share the love that I have for my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren in a way that maybe I haven't done before? And here's a couple of scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Paul says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." And I don't know if somebody were to ask us, how would you describe God? Easy answer is God is love. Well, how? How is God love? Do we actually ever think of God as an encouraging God, a comforting God, and a God who urges us to live lives for God and the world around us? And maybe one of the great calls of God for all of us is, if you love me, show it by how you treat each other in the world. And then in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, and John is known as the love writer of the Bible. He is known as the disciple who loved Christ in an amazing way. He says in 1 John 3, 1, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God." Now, I'm not reading that properly, because at the end of that sentence is an exclamation point. He's making this very clear. See what great love the Father has lathered, is another Greek word. In this one, lavished. See what great love the Father has lathered or lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. I'm not sure if I saw this on a commercial or I read it in a magazine or somewhere, but I remember this, whether it was Ivory Soap or something like that, a commercial, and there was a child in the bathtub and was completely lathered with soap, bubbles coming everywhere, just absolutely overwhelmed with all of these bubbles and a big smile on this child's face. And I thought, that's God loving us, lathering us, lavishing his love upon us. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. "Yet for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one God, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live." And then remember the story in Luke chapter 15, the parable chapter, I suppose, in the Bible, and the story of the prodigal son, where there was just the son who just kind of wanted to go off on his own. And maybe those of us who are fathers, who have children who have grown and now have their own family, maybe we can remember sometimes some of the tensions that we had with our teenage sons back then. Not that when we as teenagers ever gave our father a hard time. And sometimes you'd go to bed at night and go, when is he going to get home? Did anybody remember these words? Can you still remember the feelings that you had? What's going on? What's wrong? How can I help with this? And you just really didn't know what to do. And I wonder if God ever feels that way about us sometimes. I just love them so much. What can I do to help them know how much I love them? And so for fathers, here's this story in the prodigal son. I guess that's why many of us relate to this parable more than anything else, because we've been the prodigal son. Many of us have been the prodigal son, even though we may not want to admit it. We need to, because there have been times when we've been the prodigal son, and then there have been times when we've been the father of a prodigal son. And what do you do? So in Luke 15, 17, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." And the prodigal son, something kicked in. It wasn't necessarily his father's words, because he left home. Maybe it wasn't his father's personality, because he still left home. But there was something about the father where the prodigal son said, "I know I can go home. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know I can go home. I know I can go home." And if you're here today and you might be saying, "Well, I didn't have a father like that. I left home knowing that when he said to me, if you leave, you can't come back, that he meant it. So what do you do with all of that? And maybe you never did go back home. I just want all of us to know, if we don't already know, that we have the best Father in the world, our loving God, who says to us, you can always come home. You are always welcome home. And this is the story of the prodigal son, because it's not just the story, it's our own life and where we fit in. And have we exasperated our children? And as children, can we come back home to fathers and mothers and be a family of God that he's always dreamed that we would be? And then in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, Jesus reminds us of how good God our Father is, where he says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, I don't know, again, what everyone's family life was like. And maybe I'm not unusual in saying this, but it took me a long time. It took me a good number of years before I could ever sit down with my father and be completely relaxed and at ease and at home with him. I don't know if anybody else feels that way about their father. I knew my father loved me, but he grew up in an era where there wasn't much physical touch with men, sons, and fathers. But we always knew that our dad loved us. The words were never spoken. There was no physical touch. There'd be a handshake every once in a while. But what I really enjoyed was the later years. When I was off on my own and Barb and I started to have children, I enjoyed sitting down, talking with my father. And then for the first time, Dad opened up. He started telling stories of how he was raised. He started telling stories about what it was like leaving home at a young age. He told us all kinds of stories. And I'm thinking, why didn't you tell me these stories? Well, I'm a grandfather now. And now I'm telling the stories. And sometimes my son says, why didn't you tell me this before? I don't know. I don't know. I should have. Why didn't you hug me more? I don't know. I should have. But I don't miss an opportunity now. I'll tell you that. I don't miss an opportunity now. This love that God has for us, this loving Father says, you have this within you to share. So Romans chapter 8, Paul reminding us that God is our Father in heaven. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Daddy, Father. The word Abba is this word of more personal. There's Father God, but there's also a familial God, a family God, a papa, a daddy God. We cry out to him, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So many of you have already gone through these experiences, but one of the things that I do enjoy about small grandchildren is that they're learning independence, they're playing, they're ruckus, they're having a good time, they're yelling, but as soon as something happens to them, whether they get hurt or they're afraid, they run to daddy, or they run to mommy, or they run to poppy or grammy. They run to it. And this is this description often of God, the prodigal son coming back home. Am I welcome to come back home? Oh yeah, you are welcome. Not only are you welcome, we're gonna celebrate with you. You're safe here. And my heart breaks for anyone who's not welcome home. But I want you to know, you are welcome to the God of God, to a Father of fathers who says you are always welcome home. And it's the story that's everyone's story, that we're welcome home to God's house. John 16, 27, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. A reminder that God loves us, reminding us and teaching us. And then Jesus was also a comforting father figure, if you will. Do not let your hearts be troubled. This is John 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you, a place of comfort, a place where you can always go home. And then in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. What's the most important ongoing gift fathers can give their children? And I think it's on our welcome bars to come in. I think it's on over here. I think it's ingrained in our hearts. What's the most important gift we can give our children as we pour out our love into their hearts is to love God and to love each other and to serve the world, meaning everyone is welcome. And then in Luke 6, but love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Or then Matthew 18. So what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he's happier than that one sheep, than the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones would perish. And then Matthew 6, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So it's interesting. I don't know what everyone's story is or what it's like. If you grew up in a loving home or if it's something you're striving for, we always have the opportunity to be the kind of person that we want to be or that we have always desired to be. And although a change in life is not always easy, I asked his permission and he said, okay. So I have a son. Some of the teachers in here taught him. God bless you. High school years was not always an easy time for him in his life. And there was a time when I really wondered, what in the world can I ever do to help this young man, whom I love with all my heart? What can I do? Well, we just kept loving. And now I can tell you, and it has nothing to do with me, probably has a lot more to do with his mother than me. He's the kindest, most gentle person I know. He is a son, but he's a best friend. And I wonder if we have ever considered God that way. He is my father. I am his son. God is my best friend. And God says, right back at you.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.